All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and it is a familiar voice that you're about to hear, and also my friend. He is John Hudson from J.P. Hudson & Associates, and he is here to tell you what he does when it comes to security, and I mean some major security. But before we begin, John, great to have you back, and I think we should begin with a background check of you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Rob. I certainly appreciate you inviting me back here. I think it's been about a month or so. So thank you very much. Before we get started, I just, my son and my daughter are really excited about this and about you. And I told them I'd give them a shout out. My son says, give us a shout out. So shout out goes out to my, son Jack and my daughter Sarah. So there you go.
Jack and Sarah, your dad is a special man, former member of the Secret Service and also the United States Marine Corps. So you transition from the military to the government to the security business. And let's pick it up on that. Some of the current projects you're working on, port security program initiatives, and so many other things, major trends in the industry, changing trends in security, fill in the blanks.
So much there. Yes. Back in the Marine Corps days, yeah, that's where it all started, and it was a natural transition through the Marine Corps into the U.S. government Secret Service. And it was just like another agency that you end up working for that stays in the government. From there, we went on and developed my own security company after the Secret Service, and that's where we came into some of this port security stuff that we're about to talk about as well. And it's been a trying time as you develop your own company, but lending itself to the knowledge from the government days and experience of the government days and transitioning that and coming into the civilian days, it's a little bit different.
Now, the average person hears ports, they think water. What exactly does that mean, port surveillance?
Well, it is. It's waterways. It's a government term, port surveillance, port security, and it's a U.S. Coast Guard term. And it's just that. It's the designation, I think, is about a mile from the inland of the waterways, and Pittsburgh's the second largest inland waterway port across the country.
All right, we move on to the major trends. Video surveillance, it's everywhere. Big Brother is in the sky, and if you're in the corporate community and you're listening, this is the guy that you want to hire. Great reputation and obviously knows what he is doing because of his military background and is also his background with the Secret Service. Schools, hospitals are soft targets, and right now, more than ever, they are in need of your services.
Yeah, we talk about soft targets. People ask me, what is a soft target? Well, like we mentioned, maybe medical facilities may be a soft target. They're not mandated by, say, the U.S. government to have specific security measures in place, although there are some exceptions to that rule. But nonetheless, you have malls and shopping centers, daycare centers, theaters. We talked about the incident some months ago in the movie theater out in Colorado. That would be considered a soft target. One of the biggest problems that are out there is those managers and those owners of these soft targets saying, what do we do? How do we protect everything? It would cost us a fortune to do this. Yeah, it's expensive, but I think the ROI, the return on investment, is well worth it.
There's an initial expense, but the long-term value and security out really weighs that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and you talk about soft targets. Here is how people, I think, will identify with it even more, where people are their most vulnerable. Because the majority of people that perpetrate these crimes, and I've learned this from you and my good friend Lou Gentile. That's another dear friend of mine from Houston. I got a lot of Lou's in my life. Lou Gentile, and that is, these are cowards that are perpetrating these crimes. So it is basically like the fox going after the hen in the hen house. They want an easy time of it. They don't want to be confronted. So also having this opportunity of them even seeing this camera, if they stumble upon one, would also possibly be a deterrent too. So there's a lot of value involved in what you do.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And, I've often been asked, well, what does a camera do to prevent something from happening? Well, it may not prevent, but it could. It deters, and it certainly lends itself to the post-investigation, as you've learned yourself, and we've talked about in the past. But when you put a camera up there, and you know that you're going to be on surveillance, you may think twice about committing a crime in that area.
And here's what people don't understand, the technology. This is the next thing that we bring into the conversation here. J.P. Hudson & Associates, my good friend, former member of the Secret Service, United States Marine Corps, once a Marine, always a Marine, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
He is John Hudson, is These cameras are so minute. We were talking about ticks earlier with Dr. Michael Hutchinson. They are in some cases about as big as a tick. So if you're in a public place with people like you doing what you're doing and others like you who have that background of working with the government, in particular the Secret Service and being in the military, 9 times out of 10, there's someone watching you. So anyone who is thinking about it, they should think again before they commit a crime.
That's correct. Just because the camera's 2 blocks over does not mean it can't see you and recognize you.
Next best thing in security, use of technology versus armed presence. A lot of people have been talking about that since what we had downtown, Gateway Center, the hostage situation in which you were one of our experts on the air with us. Your thoughts as far as someone saying, okay, but a camera can't defend you by using force. Why do you say that may not be always the best case to have an armed guard? If you can afford one, so be it. But in the other sense, if you look at it, it can also deter business as well and frighten people away if you see someone standing at the entrance of a business holding a weapon.
Yeah, that's correct. I talk about the presence of, say, an armed guard. You're right. It is a deterrent for someone to come in and want to create an issue or create a problem because you have an armed presence. You have a uniform presence there. So they're most likely going to leave the establishment and go somewhere else to commit their crime. With the use of video surveillance, it's probably the next best thing outside of having an actual armed guard in your facility. Again, when I go into a facility and I look around and I see cameras there, I'm going to think twice about committing the crime. And let's just say I go ahead and I proceed and I commit that crime. Well, that's recorded, that's documented, and that's stored. Now that's evidence. You submit that evidence into the court system, and that's all you have. That's all you have to actually do. You've got a picture here. You've got a gun. You've got a person pointing that gun. You know, picture's worth a thousand. The old saying, picture's worth a thousand words. And in that case, that helps in the prosecutorial process.
All right. And here's something that I want you to do. We've basically taken care of your body of work, who you are. John Hutson, Hudson, J.P. Hutson and Associates. Please, if you are in the corporate world and you need someone to make sure that your business is treated as though they have a personal interest, this is the guy. And this is how we end our conversation. Your background. President Bush and Clinton were in town earlier this week, okay? You have been a part of both of those administrations. Where was it when you could have very easily taken that government pension and called it a day? Where was it that you said, look, I want to take the next chapter in my life and protect others who are in those soft target areas? Tell us.
I was always a proponent of starting my own company, starting my own business. And when I went into the government, I went in with the notation that I would like to get out and be an entrepreneur and start my own consulting firm one day. And there came 9/11, tragic event. As you know, my background's in explosives, weapons of mass destruction and explosives. There became a niche in the market for blast analysis work at airports throughout the country. There was a big need for explosives consultants. And that's when I made that leap into the private sector and began consulting in the explosives arena. So that was the transition from the U.S. government into the civilian sector.
I got to tell you, the main reason, and you're going to agree with me, those two names that you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, it all comes down to protecting those who are vulnerable. As I would my children, you would do the same. And any job you take, you look at the people that you are hired by as though they are your family members. And that's what I admire about you the most. John, thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it.
Good people, great American, J.P. Hutson and Associates. You can't go wrong. Pittsburgh Works.